As many of you know, Pastor Bruce's favorite color is pink. So I wore that for him today. And so I know he's probably going to watch this. And so I just wanted to make sure that, you know, even though I'm filling his pulpit, that I wear his favorite color for him. And so many of you guys know he hates pink, absolutely hates it. And so it was just me trying to be nice. But God laid a specific message on my heart today, and through much prayer and wrestling with God, I wholeheartedly believe I will be preaching what He wants me to preach. A little bit of the text I've preached through, never here, just some of it, and God's just given me a new vision in this and a new reason, a new context. I believe that it can be a great place for those of us who have been saved for a long time. This message can bring someone to Christ. Sam, I just saw you. I was looking for you earlier. How are you, man? There's a lot of people who, I'll jump in. I'm going to share my testimony, and because not everybody knows it, and it'll help me to settle down, and then I'll get to preaching. But I preach on Facebook every Monday since I don't know, for quite a while. Even when I was pastoring in a church, I still was on Facebook. And so recently, God's just brought a lot of people through Facebook on there. And it is still a ministry platform. Where's Ken? Is Ken Tarr's not in here today, huh? He calls me a televangelist. He calls me Joel Olstein, actually, is what he calls me. But we have words over that. But no, but just part of it is no matter where we do, no matter what the platform is that we can preach in, we're reaching people. And a few weeks back, a bunch of people shared it, and people kept watching, and it's just been a great thing. It's been a humbling experience for me to have people just follow week after week, and a lot of times I get on there on Facebook, and I'm just preaching something that God really laid on my heart in that moment. Maybe it's just through the, you know, I've been helping Pastor with the teens, and me and Pastor have been taking turns with the teens, and so maybe God works on my heart in there, and I just get on there and share it. And so if you are on Facebook, you can watch that stuff. I'd appreciate it. But today, the message of where we're going to be is in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to use the text, which I've used 2 Corinthians 5:17 before. I'm just going to use that verse as paving us into what I believe that God has us, where God would want us to be. And so, like I said, I'm super excited. I'm humbled that Pastor would even ask me to preach. And so, it's a, I know there's a, there's a lot of people stood behind this pulpit that are way more worthy than me, and so it's I'm just so thankful for this opportunity. But go ahead and take your Bibles and turn them to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to look at verse 17, and then we're actually going to be in 4. 4 is where we're going to build most of our text for what God's laid on my heart today, but I'm going to use this as an illustration. There's two people, there's actually multiple people who have worked in my life that God has used to mold me, that God has used to help grow me. I couldn't, Steve being one of them, me and Steve, I work at the John Deere dealership. He's a farmer, and he doesn't know it, but there's times he comes in, and we just share a short conversation, maybe about something God's worked in our hearts, or just how we've seen the grace of God work in our lives, and it's something that I always look forward to, and I look forward to speaking with Phil, and he's here today, Casper, and he's always been such an encouragement to me, and he will be a little bit of an illustration today of how God has used him in my life. That's what we're going to look at from the scripture today. I'm going to go ahead and start, and then I'll get into this. But we cannot truly know who we are until we know God. Many people are trying to find themselves, but you must find God before you can find yourself. I look across this world, and it's not, you don't have to look very far, and you can see there's an identity crisis out there. I post on my phone, BLM, I'm talking about Bureau of Land Management, and I'm texting a buddy about hunting. I said, it's over by this piece of BLM, and this little black fist comes up in there. In my phone, I've never texted that before, so that just shows you we have a crisis. We look across, look at the kids across this country, the younger people, the older people who have a major problem identifying with their gender. It's a huge problem we have in this world, the identification. And the reason being is because they're trying to identify in and with this world instead of finding their identity in Christ. Amen. And so 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we're going to hone in on a couple of words in this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, we're going to use the word in Christ and a new creature, and we're going to look at how this applies to us. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help calm my spirit. Father, that you would use me in a way that only you can. Lord, help to humble me. Help me to say nothing of myself, but just fill me with the Spirit of God, Lord, and help it to reach someone in here. Lord, you know my heart in this, and you know that it's not of me, and I don't want it to be said of anything of myself, Lord. I just want to preach your word. And Father, I pray that you would work in the hearts and lives in this church, Lord, that this message would fall on fertile soil in their lives, Lord. And Father, that we would see what it is that you have for each and every one of us from your scripture today. We ask these things in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. So we were talking a while back, and this is a funny joke. I have to drink water all the time. I drink water nonstop. And if I ever become a pastor at a church again, when we build the pulpit, we're going to make it look like this is like a mic, but it's really going to be a straw. And so that's my way of breaking this. But 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And like I said, I have preached from some of this text. I'm going to use two illustrations today that I hope help pave the way of people getting a visual in here. I'm going to share some of my testimony. I did some of this the other day. I'm looking for Brother Wilson. Where did he go? Oh, he's right there in the back. So Brother Wilson, as many of you would know, and this is me sharing my testimony, and I am the person. So I've grown up in this church. There are reasons that rules have been written. I was that person. There are reasons for this. There's a reason that Brother Wilson's beard is so gray. I am that person. And so I look at this, but sharing my testimony is that Brother Wilson has been a youth, has always worked with the kids, him and Susie, in this church. And at a young age, I remember clearly him teaching a message and it convicting me to the place of where I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Brother Wilson, this church has changed tremendously since that time. And so he took me aside, and there was this other little room there. He opened God's Word, and he showed me how I could be saved. And so what I want to hone in on and what I want to look at today is our part in salvation is big. It's bigger than any of us think. And I hope this illustration helps pave this. And I'm not trying to put, Brother Wilson, he doesn't need to be mentioned in this, and I know he doesn't want to be, but it is part of it. And I know when I get to how Brother Phil Casper's worked in my life, it's not these men, it's the outpouring. It has nothing to do with the physical person. It's the outpouring that happens through them. And so Brother Wilson, by him being faithful in children's ministry and leading me to the Lord, and then later in life, God works in my heart and in my life and calls me to preach. So what do we see happening? We see the faithfulness of one man's willingness in knowing that us kids needed to know about the Lord, that he led me to the Lord. And through his ministry of leading me to the Lord, we have seen people led to the Lord through my ministry. And if it keeps happening, we are going to reach this world for Christ. And he was not doing that. And a lot of what I want to get at is he was not ever doing that. I've known this man I've been going to this church since I was about 2 years old. And so I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but because I don't remember. I'm 37. No, I actually remember this year. I actually remembered my proper age this year. That is not a lie. But over all of this time, all of the things that God has used me through and used and touched the hearts and lives, it started through him. If he wouldn't have done what he did, if God had not given him a burden, if God had not given him an outpouring to be able to preach and to teach us kids, which is a rough job, I'm telling you. That's why the hair is thin, the beard is gray. It had a lot to do with me. But I'm just saying it has nothing to do with him. It has to do with that God worked in him, and that is an outpouring of what God had done in his life that he wanted to pour into our lives. And so let's get going in on this text. So I'll read verse number 17 one more time and we'll go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Such a simple yet beautiful verse. Sounds pretty simple though, right? But what does it mean to be made new or in Christ? We're going to touch on the believers part of it. That would be those of us that are in Christ today and the ones that are out of Christ. We're going to look at the whole picture of this. But what does it mean to be made new or in Christ? Does it mean that you're going to change? Everything's going to change about you. Does it mean you're going to be bigger or stronger or faster to be new? What does it mean? To everybody, it's going to mean something different. Does it mean that I'm going to be younger? And that's what I was looking for. I'm like, you know, if you get resaved at a later age, can you? No, I'm just kidding. New family, new job. What does it mean to be new and in Christ? What does it mean to be a new creature? I think about this stuff, and when you try to teach and preach something expository, not really what we're going to do today, but you sit there and you look at every word, and I look at how it all applies to me usually. I look at how God's word applies in my life first, and then you try to pray about it and see how God wants to use it. And so to me, when I look at what does it mean to be new in Christ or a new creature, that what Christ did on Calvary forever changed my life. That's what it means to me. And I know a lot of people look at this and they think, well, what does it mean to be new or I've been saved? But in that moment of salvation, what Christ did on Calvary is the way I look at it. It changed me forever. The fact that he would look at me, a sinner, and save me by his grace, amen. And there's a couple things that'll happen today. I have a little bit of Baptist in me like Brother Andy Loman, so I get loud. But I'm going to try to save my voice. My voice is actually pretty tired today for some reason. And we're going to use the word grace, amen? And I'm so excited about what God's going to do today. But what Christ did on Calvary forever changed my life. He knew no sin, but he bore my sin on the cross and yours. And when I look at that, that's life-changing. I didn't see it quite that way 100% when I was a young kid and I got saved. As I always testify with my salvation, I was as saved as a 9-year-old boy could be saved, amen? And I grew in that, and I grew in that. And the place I am now with understanding my relationship and my salvation is not what it was when I was 9 years old. We all have to grow. I think it's harder. I look at people and I see a lot of older people get, not older, I'll say my age people get saved. I said older. But get saved, and we can kind of almost peter out quicker. Rather than getting excited about the things of God and growing and growing. But anyways, let's stay, I'll stay on point. But the fact that God would look at a sinner like me, that is grace, amen? The fact that any of us can have access to God is grace. And I look at how I am saved and why I am saved, and it's just a humbling thing. There's times I'll be sitting there thinking about it, like just now before here, and a lot of emotion running over me, and a tear will come out of my eye because I'm so unworthy of what God has done in my life. I am so unworthy for the price that he paid because I know me, and you know you, and we are sinners at best on most days. And I look at how he saved me by his grace. It's a humbling thing, amen. Let's look at the in Christ part. In Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Let's look at verse chapter number 4 and verse number 3. And this is where we're going to build on for the most part of this. And so, chapter number 4, verse number 3. We'll read through verse number 7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I actually just really discovered what a lot of verse number 7 is saying. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of power may be of God and not us. When you're preaching and when you're teaching and when you're doing things, there has to be a certain position of you exiting yourself out of everything and allowing God to enter into you. And I looked at this and I went, that's what God's saying to me. That's how he spoke to me about it. In this earthen vessel, speaking of our body, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. And everything that happens behind this pulpit has to be of spirit-filled, of God, of true leaning on God. I heard it illustrated one time, and it was actually illustrated towards me. And she said, sometimes people who know, and I won't say the person that know too much about God's word can do too much. And when you only know so much and all you really truly have is God's word and the scripture, it's all you have to lean on. So how can you go wrong? Amen. And that was an encouragement. But let's go back to verse number 3, and that's where we're going to build some of this from. But if our gospel be hid, and I'm talking to saved people, us people who have been saved for many years like me, I would be saved, 28 years? I did go through a rough time in my life, but thankful for the grace of God and helping get me steered correct again. But I'm speaking to saved people in this moment. I'm speaking to unsaved all the time because we'll learn. But if our gospel be hid to them that are lost. First time I ever read this scripture or verse, it was convicting. The second time through the 100th time, it is still convicting. If we look at what the verse is saying, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If we look at it this way, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that matter. And that's what I'm talking about, the outpouring of our life. I am an absolute not works person. I don't believe in any type of work changes any position. Okay, I just want to clarify that. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't work our way to a better position in Christ. We can't work our way to God looking at us differently. We just can't. It is impossible. The way I put works is it goes back to the old Mosaic law, and I think about it. When you get a works-based religion going on, what you are doing is you are telling Jesus Christ, who we have to remember that Christ lived a sinless, perfect life, unlike us, that Christ put himself on that cross in our position, and he bore all of our sins, past, present, and future. So when we try to work our way to heaven, we are basically saying that Jesus Christ, by you doing all of that, that was not enough for me. That was not enough by you putting yourself on the cross. People think that he was put on the cross, that he was murdered, has nothing to do with that. He freely laid his life down so that we can have salvation. Amen. So I believe in nothing to do with a works-based performance religion. If I use the word work or do, I mean outpouring of what God has done in your life to someone else's. Amen? So the outpouring of what God's done in me is what should come out. That was a side note. But if your gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It is hid to them that matter. Amen? And when I think of this, I think of out in the world, in my job. You know, me and James Smith, we work together, and a lot of times we talk about church. Not lately. It's hunting season. We have talked about nothing but hunting. But there's a lot of times we're there early, and we do talk about what pastor preaches the day before. And we do talk about that. And there's a lot of people in our work that I believe are not saved. But I believe that if you continue doing, and I don't do anything for show whatsoever. I'm not a showman. I didn't do any of that. But I believe that if you just live in the purest form what God has done in your life, and none of us are perfect. Like I said, we're all sinners at best. We have to remember that. But as saved individuals, when we apply this verse to our life, but if our gospel be hid, and the gospel is just speaking of the good news of Christ, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It's hid to them that it really matters. And so many times we're a different person in church on Sunday than we are throughout the week. Right? And if our gospel be hid, We're hiding it at the wrong time, right? In a culture that is based on performance, look at our culture. Look at the culture of the world. How is it hard not to get a hold of performance in anything? Your job is judged by what? Your performance, right? That's how you move up the ladder. You have to do, you have to do, you have to do. And so I truly get why people get a hold of performance-based religion. Even in here, saved by grace through faith, but we still can put ourselves in a position of God looking at us, right? I've been guilty of it. I'm sure many others have, right? We've all done it. You know, and I there's times I take up the offering, I do anything. I'm just one of those people that if something needs done around church, this is my heart. And if something needs done around church, I'll just help do it, right? That's how we all should be. More would get done around here. I preached at the kids the other day. I'm convicted about this. I preached to the kids the other day. I said, you know, a church, they say statistically, and I want to make something very clear. Me and Pastor spent like a month and a half talking about this, trying to figure out what to preach. Just kidding. We did not. But I told those kids the other day when I was preaching teen class, I said, you guys are the next generation of the workers in the church. Do you know that statistically, churches, it's 10% of people serve, okay? 10%. We're far from that, amen? We're far from that on a big day. And so, anyways, I'll get back to text. God just put that on my heart. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, the ones that it truly matters. And I look at how it applies in my life. Just live what Christ has done each and every day, and we will reach people with the gospel message. Amen. Verse number 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world, when I think of this, I look at it as everything that goes on in this world. Look at where we are. We've never been so divided because of what? Because of COVID, yeah. Oh my goodness. I was trying not to use the word. But the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's exactly where we are right now. We have the people who don't believe in Christ, for the most part, trying to tell the people who believe in Christ and want to keep a church open to close the doors, right? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. That's our position. How many times do we get caught up? This is me. I get so mad on Facebook that I try to stay off Facebook, but I talked about this once, I posted something I wasn't even offensive to. I was just trying to explain to somebody what a rainbow really was. Didn't go very well. This lady nearly crucified me. She pulled pictures off my Facebook. She pulled pictures of me preaching and all this and said, I was very nice about it. I just told them what the Bible said. And she didn't like it. But that's the problem, is this world is full of people who are blinded by things they don't know anything about, by not being founded and grounded in God's word, by not being saved. And that's the ones that are running the country. When we look at the problems that we have, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. Look at the news. What is the news doing? Blinding the minds of people. The biggest thing I want to look at, and what I want to spend the most time today on, is judging. That's a rough one because every single one of us is guilty of it. But when we look at verse number 3, all I can tell you, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I say this, and I say this with all love and grace to every single person out here. But if somebody were the only gospel that somebody were to read would be your life, would that person get saved? And when I say that with conviction. You know why? Because I'm a sinner and I've not lived a perfect life. And I'm so thankful that by the grace of God, I can stand here and proclaim His truths because of His love, grace, and forgiveness in my life. Amen. But when I say that, I say it wholeheartedly. Because when we look at how things go, Brother Wilson is the person that God used to lead me to the Lord through the faithfulness and willingness of him being able to serve. I have learned, Phil Casper has this saying, and he gave it to me at a rough time, and I know he doesn't want anything said, but his saying goes something like, rest easy in the grace of God, and I hope I said it pretty close to right. I had no idea what that meant when he told me that. When he told me that, I was full of a lot of emotion, and I was full of a lot. And days later, I found myself needing what he told me. Amen. And I'm thankful for men like that that pour into my life. When I look at and the time that I've spent with Phil Casper and the time that I spend with Brother Steve Chappell and all these other men, I've learned more about the grace of God through the outpouring of these men into my life. And sometimes I say something to somebody in simplicity and it changes it. And I really was just meaning, and that's how I'm sure a lot of this is. Me and Steve talking passing and me and Phil spending time together. But I'm telling you that when God has done something in your life, share it with somebody, because you don't know who needs it and you don't know when they'll need it. Just as Phil had shared that with me, just rest easy in the grace of God. I didn't know I needed that, but I really needed it. I really did. And later, weeks later, God used it in my life. So if our gospel be hid, it is hid to the ones that matter. Look at your position in grace as a saved individual, and there should be no reason that there isn't an outpouring of God's love and grace into others. Amen. I'll amen myself on that one. I like that one. What Christ did should forever change our lives, give us a new perspective, a new vision, and a new purpose. It's humbling to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for a sinner like me, and he knew it. Amen? Let's jump over to verse number 5 and 16. So chapter number 5, verse number 16. My voice is not doing good up here. Chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. New creature. When we're looking at the saved, if we go back to verse number 17 and we'll start building off that again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So in salvation, we should have a new purpose, a new vision, a new outlook on life, right? That should be what happens. Does that happen in the moment you get saved? Not really. It happens over a time. The process of sanctification. We all grow. We all grow closer to God. We all grow in His Word, right? Amen? I'm not the person I was as a 9-year-old saved. I'm not even where I was 6 years ago. God has grown me. It's a never-ending process, amen? We all have not made it there yet. None of us know everything. Even though we might think we do, we don't. But we're all going to continue growing. And so I look at in salvation that we're a new creature in Christ, right? We should have a new purpose in life. Amen? A new vision, a new outlook on people. But it doesn't always happen. You know that some of the people that have been saved the longest are actually the worst with a bunch of this stuff? And I'm speaking the God honest truth. I've been there. How many of us have a problem with judging? Right now, this mask thing. Right now, this COVID thing, this shot thing. Look at everything going on in the world. Something that people in the churches and people across the country already struggle with enough. And now you have the government trying to make it even worse. Amen? Judging, picking a side, doing all of these things. But new creature, new creature, we don't identify with our old man. And that's not something that happens in the moment of salvation. That's something that happens over time, right? Did anybody in here get saved at the age of 20 years old and all of a sudden, boom, from there, they were just there? We don't meet there. That's not what happens. It's a process of time that it does it. But new creature, we don't identify with the old man. We are no longer that man. In salvation, there has to be a change. Repentance, a turning of self to God. New creature. But often what happens is so many times is people get saved and they stall out, right? Anybody seen that? Anybody been there? I'm guilty of it. I was saved for a long time before I allowed God to work in my heart and in my life, amen? Stubborn is what I call it. I guess I'm the only one. Me and Brother Wilson got problems. But new creature, new vision, new purpose, new outlook on life. When God saves a sinner and God starts working, there should be an outpouring of it, amen? Kind of like my nephew, Cade, got saved the other day. You know what the first thing he said to me when I saw him was? I got saved. Amen. And I look at that, and I look at that as an adult. What if every time an adult got saved, they were that excited? Most of the time, I'm going to tell you this. I've seen people so full of pride after salvation, they can't get baptized. That's a scary thing. You should be excited to get baptized after you get saved. You know why? Because you're identifying with this body of believers, amen? Has nothing to do with saving you. There's no saving power in that water. Trust me, you. Even at the Catholic Church, I peeked, me and Pastor, he was involved in this, peeked in that room, and there was a bottle sitting there, and it was like a milk jug, and all it said on it was, Holy H2O, and we laughed, and we left, because we was about to get in trouble. But there should be. We should be excited about things. We should have a different outlook. We should be leading people to Christ. And that's what I look at in verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And then verse number 17. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Understanding that our way or the way of the world is wrong. That's what happens when we get saved. We understand that going this way, that by going this way, I'm going the wrong way. And Jesus is here. We use the word repentance. You can use the word turning. That's what repentance means, is turning to God. The world is wrong. I'm going to turn to God. Amen? And so that's what happens. But the world is the wrong way. And God now dictates our future, not our flesh. New creature. There has to be a change. In salvation, we should look at people differently. We should look at everything differently. New eyes, new vision, new purpose, new perspective in life. When I got a hold of how God's grace worked in my life, it forever changed me. I was saved for a long time. I don't know what it is about us people that were saved at our age, but there was many of us I've talked to just over my lifetime, and I said, I don't know how we got a hold of works. And I learned, because when we was kids, sometimes maybe in the teen class, they never talked about the grace of God in our lives. And we live in a performance-driven culture, so that's why I preach so against a performance-based religion, because I want no one to get a hold of that stuff through me. But verse number 16, the word I want to hone in and what I want to look at is, know we no man after the flesh. Paul also teaches in this new eyes, know we no man after the flesh. We don't look through the flesh. We have a new vision. We don't judge the flesh. But often we do. Isn't that what we do? I have a judgment problem. It's simple. Everybody does. It's called human nature. We judge everybody for something that we don't agree with. We judge everybody for the position we are politically right now, because certain side of politics are ruining our country. And certain side of politics ruin the country. It just depends on which direction you look at it. But we're a politically driven country right now. Everybody is paying attention to politics. Everybody is paying attention to the ocean. Did anybody pay attention to the OSHA mandate thing they were trying to do? I was looking at that thing every day, because that rightly affects me. Directly affects me. And I'm sitting here judging the people that are trying to do it. But is that my position? No, we know man after the flesh. We don't look through the flesh. We have a new vision. We don't judge the flesh, but often we do. Here's the one that I get a lot right here. Not everybody knows See this right here? I got tattoos on my arm, and I get judged for it often. I wear a long sleeve shirt. It doesn't bug me. I'm blind to it. What's hard is when the kids ask, you know, you're out doing something and like pastor's daughter asks. And so here's the position with looking at this. I'll use myself for sake of illustration, is that doesn't change me. You can't see it now, and it doesn't change me, but I get judged for it. I remember just weeks ago at work, I had a short sleeve shirt on and I could just see somebody, boy, they was just staring at it. That is the grace of God, amen, that I could have been in a position in my life like that to have done something like that, amen? But I get judged for it fiercely, judged for it. Actually, Miss Edith used to, she gave me a hard time for it, but she did it out of love and grace, and she did it in a great manner. But often we judge people. So this guy has a tattoo of something. Well, you don't know what that guy's gone through in his life and the places that he's been. But if that man, saved by grace, forgiven. So we call him, what does Pastor call him? He calls them scars of grace, amen. The places that we've been and the places that God's grace has taken us to. But this world is full of judging. How many people know someone who was maybe a horrible person? Maybe a person like Saul. We all know the story about Saul's conversion into Paul. Saul, the biggest persecutor of Christians. Paul, whose doctrine we're teaching today. Amen? But this world is full of judgment. We don't see people through the eyes of Christ. Even Paul, look at 10. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10 and 10. It is hot up here. 2 Corinthians 10 and 10. And I like using myself in illustrations because nobody can get mad. Amen? Second Corinthians 10, verse number 10. This is speaking of Paul, this is his critics they're speaking of, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. And I think of, when I look at Paul, I have an imagination, that's how I get through life. So I look at Paul, I want to say Paul was like 6'3 and just big and big, powerful voice. He wasn't. I've researched to the best of my ability. A lot of people actually say he was probably short, bald, kind of slouched, had a hunch. But I have my own vision of it, it's all right. I kind of think of him being like Dr. Arby Ouellette, you know, where he's big, just huge man, big voice. But it wasn't him. But you look at Paul when they're, this is his critics looking at him. And you got to look at Paul is who wrote most of the major doctrines that we preach out of, amen. Paul was also Saul, who persecuted Christians. God, through the grace of God, got a hold of his life, used him to write the epistles that we now preach through today. But we have his critics back here. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful. That means that he preached the gospel, amen. He didn't Joel Osteen it and preach health, wealth, and prosperity, amen. And I'm so thankful for that. But his letters were weighty and powerful. His bodily presence was weak. So he didn't add up to what the modern day preacher or what they would have envisioned for somebody to be then. He was a little too short, he was a little too fat, and he was a little too bald. He fit the position of 90% of Baptist preachers, amen. And that's what, he didn't measure up to the standard of teaching at the time. Basically is what they were picking on him about. He preached hard. He didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. He preached what God's word said. Amen. He wasn't big enough. He wasn't strong enough. He wasn't fast enough. He wasn't founded in their teaching. He wasn't compassionate enough. He wasn't a crowd pleaser. He was kind of long-winded. Amen. That's a good thing sometimes. But there were all of these things judging the flesh. And then look at his teaching, though. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. But all these people were doing to Paul was they were criticizing his bodily presence, what he looked like, how he stood, what he taught. Often, like we do, we judge this world through our worldly eyes as saved people. And how are people going to be led to Christ through the judgment of a saved individual and fleshly eyes. Amen. Paul was making a big point. I am not here to please this world. He did that through his speech. You can see that they were criticizing what he would preach about. Amen. Galatians 1 and 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For I yet please men? Should I not be a servant of Christ? But he was convicted in the fact that he wasn't here to be a crowd pleaser. He wasn't here to be a popular speaker and just say the things that people wanted to hear. Amen. He was there to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Paul's teaching was, we don't strive to please man. We strive to glorify our Father in heaven. And that's why we don't allow the world. If we look at the world, we don't allow the world to tell us how and what and when we can preach. Amen. It has to be done through the Spirit of God, through the God, person that he has elected to be doing it, not done by the world. And let's look at verse number 12. I'll speed up because I've spent quite a bit of time here and I'm running out of time. But verse number 12, for we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. That glory in appearance and not in heart. Has anybody, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen false worship. I've seen people maybe be saved. You would by looking at them in an outward position outside of this church, you would maybe go, I don't know about that. Amen. Really. Honestly. But then be in a position of trying to lead. But we look at that. God looks at the heart. And that's what Paul's teaching us here. Is them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Don't compare yourself with others. God looks at on the heart, not on the outward appearance. And he speaks on that. And it's not wise to. Verse number 17. In salvation, we should be a new creature with a new purpose. Right? That should be what happens to us in the moment of salvation. Means to see others and ourselves with a new sense of what really matters. When we get saved, we shouldn't be judging the flesh. We shouldn't be judging how people have lived in their past. Amen? When someone walks in here and we all know they have a past, they should feel absolutely comfortable in the house of the Lord and not judged for the things that they've done. Because there's things that I've done in my life that I ain't proud of. And like heck if I really like having people throw it at me. Is that something that is going to lead people to Christ? To the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Many times struggle in life come because we don't see church members, family members at that, people in this community in the light of the truth, is that every lost person out there is a soul. I've seen it put this way, and a missionary did this one time. He said, that person that's standing outside of Walmart or City Market or wherever it is, maybe a homeless person begging for something, that person is loved. That person has parents and grandparents that love them, and they have a Father in heaven that does as well. And all it takes is one of us being kind and showing grace to maybe reach that person. Amen. Every person in this world is a soul to God, right? Verse number 14 and 15, and then we'll close. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. Verse number 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. New creature. We are no longer to live for self. We are to live for the one who laid his life down. It's all about Jesus because he laid his life down by free will. So we can obtain salvation to be a new creature with a new vision and a new purpose. I hope that this hits home with someone. I believe that the longer we're saved and the less that we do, the harder that this is for us. Amen. But the longer we're saved and the more we allow God to work in our life, and there's such an outpouring of His love and His grace, that can change someone else's life. Amen. And that is what we should strive to be. It's not performance. It's not us doing something. This would be performance. And I'll close with this. This is not an illustration of me, of mine. I've borrowed it. When we are in Christ Jesus, we're a new creature. The old life we lived, fulfilling the flesh, is gone. We now live to glorify the name of Jesus. And in Christ, it is a daily thing. We have to understand that. We don't get saved and then just spend the rest of our life. It is a daily putting on of Christ. It is a daily choosing, and today am I going to live for Christ? Amen. Because the flesh is obviously still there. It is a daily thing. It's not just a Sunday thing. But often that's what it is, amen. Oftentimes, how many times is our religious time or our time with God only on Sunday? I've heard it illustrated like this. It is Sunday. What is this music doing playing in my car? Right? Got to change what music we listen to on Sunday. It's Sunday. Where is my Bible? Is this true? It's true for a lot of people. It's true for me sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I'm a human. It is Sunday. I better put a shirt and a tie on. Amen. But what are we doing in that performance? We're a performance-based person, right? That's what this culture in this world is. And so we look at it as every Sunday, it's just a religious activity, right? The fact that God saved us by His grace should outpour out of us all week long, amen? It should not be just a Sunday performance type thing. Well, we're going to head and close this out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a time of invitation. The piano will play.